the most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles.
Pointy at the talking.
Gummy normal.
Trivios.
Yeah, no worries, I have good footy.
Which part of that was confusing?
I've got a real problem with that. Bloody. I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a show that's like that movie, The Croods. Joel Kasem is my name, and I know I said last week I wasn't sure if I'd do any more intros, but look where we are. And who are we? Well, first up is a man who left his pet snake in the spice aisle. It's Mick Rad.
That was up in North Queensland or something, wasn't it? Or Western Sydney. No, Western Sydney.
It was. Yeah, I can see how you get those two
places. Yeah, no, I just assume snake things are in Queensland. But no, yeah, that's right. It was up in Western Sydney. You know, people don't like coming to Australia because we've got scary animals, and that just proves that we do.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think many people would assume they'd go shopping and then be in the aisle where all the spices and stuff are. And there's
that's a spicy snakey ball.
Snake just popping its head out like, you should try Italian herbs, or I don't know what the snake was doing there. No, actually, I heard the snake. It wasn't the snake was there for, so it was a male snake. And this could be wrong. I could have misheard this completely. But I think it was a male snake and it was looking for a female mate. And they think there might be one in the roof. So...
Excellent.
Extra, yeah. Not just one snake there. Wherever this place is.
Just let the snakes take the store over, I reckon. Just let them go. Let them have babies. Just let them have the food. Just
that, yeah.
I mean, this is, I've got friends. So one of our listeners, Nick, he lives in England, and his boyfriend, Brody, we really want him to come to Australia. We did. We still do one day. They'll get
we did.
But Brody, he was really scared of all the animals in Australia, like seriously scared that he's going to get like bitten by a spider or a snake or a jellyfish or a crocodile or, you know, a nasty looking ant. And, you know, it's fair enough too, because all these stories of snakes in supermarkets, that's the only thing they ever see overseas. It's like only in Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, this isn't helping. So I'm sorry, Nick,
no.
If you're listening.
But also... It's not like that at all. I mean, this is a random thing. It's not every day you go there and get attacked by a snake while you're shopping or go for a walk and get attacked by a drop bear. Like, these things don't actually happen. It's very rare.
Drop bears are totally real. What are you talking about?
The ant thing, though, I've been bitten by a few different ants and they can be quite painful.
Oh, I've got a good ant story, but I'll save that for another day.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of jack jumpers?
No.
They're a Tasmanian ant, and they can cause allergic reactions in people. Like, they can go like really, really badly react to them. And they're these ants that jump, and they jump onto your legs, and they'll bite you. And they've got these really nasty little nippers. I went to a wedding in Tasmania earlier in the year. Yes, I did get out of the state, and all the ladies were wearing, you know, toeless shoes and whatnot, and these ants were just like, it was outside, and all these ants were just like starting to crawl over people's feet and legs and stuff, and it was just like, it could have been a real disaster for the wedding if someone had like been bitten, had a reaction, but no, fortunately that didn't happen. A couple of people did get bitten, but no one had a really bad reaction. The wedding went ahead, but all of us looking down just making sure that these ants weren't covered up. So it's just a note. Don't have a wedding outside in Tasmania.
That's an old Australian saying, though. All right. Also joining us is a man who is feeling more fried than a chook from KFC. It's Rowan Fitzpatrick.
That has to be the best call out from any of the Olympics. Just, yeah, I won a medal and KFC. Perfect.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
I know.
I know KFC is not an Australian thing, but it just makes sense.
Thank you, Rowan, for understanding that, because normally when I do these intros, Mick and Gabby don't really know what I'm talking about. So I
appreciate the gold rush. Sorry, I don't know this one.
Okay, so Lakeisha Patterson. So we'll talk about the Paralympics shortly, but they're on right now. And Lakeisha Patterson is a swimmer, and she won gold in the 400-meter freestyle. and got out of the pool, and in her post-swim interview said that she was fried, more fried than a chook from KFC.
Excellent.
Which is a great thing to say. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'd be bad if I was interviewed straight afterwards. I'd be just like, did I win? I wouldn't be able to say anything witty or funny.
All sort of like post-match interviews in any sport really is always, it's very difficult. And I think you sort of feel for the person being interviewed because 9 times out of 10, they're out of breath. Sometimes even in like rugby league, they might do it at halftime.
Oh,
they just sort of grab you as you're walking off and ask you.
Especially when your team's down and they're losing and like, how does it feel? It's like, we're losing. I need to go. What do you want me to say?
No, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much for asking. Yeah, I think they must have, especially with the halftime ones, they must ask prior to the game starting. So you don't really know if you're going to be up or not. You would assume you are going to be up. You'd want to be up at halftime or even full time more so. But they must do that beforehand, right? Like ask them if they can chat to them.
I don't know. I reckon they just randomly pick someone. I mean, you've seen cricket too, right? Like now they've got like these robotic cameras that go out onto the cricket field and ask questions. And it's just like, come on, this is a limit to where, you know, you should be interviewing people. Like, and also it gets a bit too much when you're talking to a cricketer while they're playing the game. It's like, come on, let them play.
Yeah. But I guess, that's, you know, modern technology is allowing these things to happen. So I don't know how much more in depth we can get. Maybe they'll end up with like the little Madonna microphone.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. Would you put it on like a soccer player, like a football player, like while they're playing? Like I interview
you
them.
Just hear a lot of panting, around. I imagine. Yeah.
It's swearing.
Yeah, swearing.
They have that in the Big Bash. I think they nominate one player who they go to mid-match. Which can be quite interesting when they like call out like a play, like, okay, I'm going to bowl it right here. And then they do it and like, oh, wow, that's really cool. But then also you get people like Shane Warne, like in the early Big Bash where they put the mic on him and they got a lot of complaints.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful who you pick. But no, you're right. There are some people, I think players like Tim Payne and stuff who are really good at the chat behind the stumps, especially when they're fielding. Plays like that are always entertaining, and it's T20, so it's not, you know, it's pajama cricket. It's not real. They did it in test match cricket, or I think that would really ruin the game. How did we get here?
Post match interviews.
Oh, we're talking about snakes in an aisle? Fried chicken.
Oh, that's right. Yes, okay. Well, yes, we are across the park. We are on 2SER 107.3. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're still here. We'll be here for another 20 or so minutes. Thank you so much again. Thank you very much. Gabby is not with us this week, unfortunately, but she should be back next week. And so our lovely intern, Rowan, is filling in. Thanks, Rowan.
At what point does Rowan stop being the intern? Like, are we going to give him a proper role at some point?
Yeah, do I get a full contract? I feel like I'm still in like a train and trial.
I think, yeah, you go from intern to apprenticeship and then from apprenticeship to...
to the bottom floor, you know, like the shit kicker. That's where you start, officially. Oh, actually, I think Rowan already is a shit kicker. Because he writes up all of our document every week.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, Rowan does all the work for this show. Well, he does more than
award-winning show. Yes.
All right. So we'll start with the Paralympics. Like I said, it kicked off on Wednesday after 364 days after it was meant to start. It's in Tokyo, of course. It's we had the warm-up. The Olympics, and now we have the big one, the Paralympics. And so a total of 162 nations, I think, are there. I think it's 162, or at least will be hopefully competing in these games. Tokyo, it's the second time they've hosted it. That's, I think, the only country that's ever hosted the Paralympic Games twice is Tokyo. They also did it in 1964, which is...
Oh.
I think the first Paralympics was 1960, so they would have been the second. And there are 22 sports all up, but it kicked off Tuesday night. Wednesday was the beginning of the events, and Australia was on top straight away.
Six medals. What the hell? Six golds, even. Like,
six
kicking golds. Off in style. It's been a pretty awesome start for the Aussies. Can we keep it up? I don't know. What are our highlights so far? What have we seen? What have we watched?
Well, last night was the goal ball. Now, just over a year ago, in July last year, we had Jenny Blow, who is a player in the goal ball team for Australia. She was on the show. She was a co-host. And we got amazing insight into how we didn't even know what goal ball was. So we got some incredible insight into how they play this game, which is sort of like a cross between so many sports, soccer, tennis, and other sports. And so basically it's three players on each team and there's a big net at each side. Most participants are almost completely blind or fully blind. Either way, they still have to cover their eyes with some special darked out.
So it's a level playing field. So yeah, everyone's completely blacked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So they wear these goggles and they throw a ball and they have to get it into the net at the other end. And it's incredible. Like, it's so cool to watch because again, we had Jenny on the show and I still can't work out how they do it. It's incredible.
I think, isn't it your other senses are heightened, right? When you can't see. So you're hearing everything. Everything's like really, you're really aware of what's happening around you.
Yep.
But still, to have even just the knowledge or the sense to know which direction to go, like, how do they know, like, the direction?
I don't know. I really don't.
There's some kind of, like, bearing or something in the ball, which kind of helps with the height.
Yeah, the ball makes a noise.
Yeah, to help you kind of hear a bit, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of these Paralympic sports, I'm just like, how do they do this? I think Rowan mentioned the Egyptian table tennis player, Ibrahim Hamadou, who plays table tennis with the bat in his mouth. No arms. Bats table tennis with his mouth. And it's amazing. Like, that. I mean, to have the ability to actually do that once, let alone play a whole game, you know, come on. I mean, we should all try that. Get a table tennis mat. In the days of COVID, I don't know, maybe sanitize it first, but put a table tennis mat in your mouth and see how you go. I bet you wouldn't even hit it once.
No, I would get nowhere near it. I'd be, just be getting hit in the face constantly.
He serves by, like, kicking the ball up with his foot as well. Like, I couldn't even just do that. I couldn't even get the ball up to serve it, let alone hit it with my mouth.
I can't kick a soccer ball, and that's much larger. That's incredible. Mick, any highlights for you?
That's the table tennis. I've actually seen quite a bit of table tennis. It's not just Ibrahim, but also the Aussies playing and table wheelchair table tennis. It makes me feel like, you know, I know table tennis is like pro sport in the Olympics as well. Like, and these guys are like, but I was watching the Paralympics table tennis and I think I could do that. I don't want to be in a wheelchair. I'm just saying, I think I could play table tennis in a wheelchair. I think I would love to do that. And I'd love to go to the Olympics.
You want to try it, or you really think you could do it?
Oh, I just feel like because you can't move as much. So you're a bit restrained, but I just really liked watching because it felt like how I would play. Like, I was like, I reckon I could play table tennis like that, because they just pick up the ball themselves. You know, it's just like really friendly. And
yeah,
it's just like,
I do love
it's
that.
It's like playing in the, like, you know, with your mates. And I just felt like it didn't feel like overly competitive. It just felt like really friendly and a bit of, you know, stuff that you play at home. I'm not downgrading, like, the quality of the players.
Of course.
I'm just saying, you know, I felt like, I'll just shut up now.
No, I know what you're saying. It when you watch it, it does have more, like, just friends are playing and it's got that vibe about it. They're having fun. It's a really good time.
Totally.
Yeah. I can see why you'd want to do it.
When I watched table tennis in the actual Olympics, I was just like, it just didn't feel real. Like, it just felt like, this is impossible. How do they do this? Like, I cannot imagine getting to that level. But I guess, you know, I'm just not very good. That's my problem.
Rowan, any highlights so far? I mean, we're of course, only 2 days.
Again, I know, but the swimming has always been our strong point in the last kind of Olympic. Oh, sorry, yeah, but the Olympics just gone. The Australians just cleaned up in the pool and really like set, you know, the whole kind of medal tally up, and it's the exact same thing happening in the Paralympics. You know, we've already got, yeah, looking through the medal, it's just, yeah, gold in swimming, gold, there's 4 gold of the 6 that we've got already in swimming. And as Rowan Crothers and Ben Popham, who are like best mates, and then they both won gold in their respective swims, and it was just fantastic to hear them in their post match. And then they were more nervous for the mate than their own races. And yeah, I thought that was just such a cool, humble thing. You'd be, yeah, like, no, I want my mate, he's got to get gold. And they're like, no, I don't want gold, you got to get gold. But then they both got gold, so it was just great to just hear them and their personality. And obviously everyone competing has got such an inspirational story to be, you know, to overcome a whole lot to compete and get a gold. It's, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And another really cool thing was the opening ceremony. Now Afghanistan would have had 2 competitors go, but of course they couldn't because of everything that's happening over there. So they got someone to carry the flag, a volunteer just took their flag around the stadium for them, which I thought was really lovely.
Yeah. And there's one, isn't there one Afghan athlete who has been living in America?
Oh, okay.
Who was actually there. But that was it. I think they were supposed to have another one. That's, I think, good. I don't know. I might've got it wrong, but,
hey, this is the right show to get things wrong. That should be our little tag across the
board. Well, but yeah, we'll have more to talk about, I guess, next week when they've seen a bit more. It's still early days, but yeah, it's going to be exciting. It goes till the end of next week, I think. It's a bit shorter than normal Olympics. So get your glut in this weekend.
Absolutely. There is also lots of other sport this weekend, including, we won't go straight into the AFL because it's the finals.
Oh, yeah.
The finals kickoff, round 23. Finished last weekend. Normally they'd have a break and then they'd play the finals. We'll talk about that in a sec. Round 23 was a bit of a crazy weekend in the AFL. The Tigers and the Hawks finished with an 83-point draw, something that's never happened in their 162 meetings. The Melbourne Demons finished with the minor premiership for the first time since 1964. And I don't know if you saw this, it was an amazing way that they got it. So they were behind by 44 points to the Cats in the third quarter, and the Demons just fought back and they fought back. And then right on the siren, they were 2 points behind, and the captain, Max Gorn, he took a mark right in front of the post, and everyone cheered because they were like, we're 2 points behind. He's going to kick this. He's going to kick it. And we're going to win the minor premiership with the captain kicking it.
Who would have picked the Demons to top the table at the beginning of the season? I don't think anyone would have. That's pretty impressive. I can't believe it's been the first time in how long? 60 years.
Yeah.
Nearly 60 years. Far out.
Yeah.
They've always been the shit kicker team. I always felt the Demons. Like, I've never seen, I can't remember in my lifetime them being any good. So, good on them. It's a bit like if the Titans went well or something, you know.
Yeah. The Warriors. I saw them win in my lifetime, so that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't rubbing it in. I'm sorry.
I was alive. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah, of course. Sorry. We've all seen a team win.
Talking about the Eels, by the way, and the Eels haven't won for a very long time, but we'll, you know.
Yes.
We'll
get to that shortly. But the finals of the AFL are this weekend. First up is tonight. It's Port Adelaide versus Geelong. Then on Saturday, it's the Swans versus the Giants. So the two Sydney teams going up against each other.
It's a shame that one will get knocked out. But
So this is a, what do they call it? Elimination final.
Yeah.
And then Melbourne play Brisbane on Saturday night as well. And on Sunday, Western Bulldogs versus Essendon, and that's another elimination final. So the winner of the two elimination finals go on.
So the big thing is Lance Franklin's close to 1,000, right? 1,000 goals.
Yep. We got there. COVID. We got there with our COVID numbers. So.
Oh, that's right. That's all the meme. Who's going to get 1,000 first? But yeah, the league is trying to tell the fans don't, because it's tradition when a player gets to 1,000 goals.
Oh, run on the
field. Fans all run onto the field. And of course, that's just not so great right now, even though the game's being played in Tassie, I believe.
I don't know how many Swannies fans are being Tassie.
Yeah, but it's just a big event, you know. Anyone
yeah, I know. Goals, it's huge. It's massive.
People just do it. I remember when Plugger Lockett.
Yeah, that was the big
massive,
one.
Massive.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the Swannies will get up. They've been going pretty well the late end of the season, so they should get that.
They finished just slightly above GWS, so they did.
In related news, can we talk about how the netball?
Yes, that's what I was
going to
get to.
Which is also it's the Swifts versus the Giants, which are two teams that are quite closely related to the AFL teams. The grand final of the netball championship is on at the same frigging time as the Swans play the Giants in the AFL.
This is right. So at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, the Sydney Swifts will play the Giants in the Super Netball grand final. 20 minutes after that is when the Sydney Swans versus the Giants in the AFL elimination final. Obviously, this is crappy. I mean, it's okay. We've all been sort of used to, after, you know, watching the Olympics, we're good at sort of picking what we're going to watch.
And, picture in picture. Yeah, you can go back and forth.
If you're lucky enough to have two TVs, fantastic. Or maybe you got it on a laptop. One's on Channel 7, one's on Channel 9. So it is doable. You can watch both. But you're right, it is very unfair. But the reason it's happened is, of course, like I said before, the AFL have scrapped their weekend where they have a bye before the finals because of everything. So it's just unfortunate. That's all it is. It's not. It was never meant to happen this way. It's just really unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it is cool. Quite a weird coincidence that they're both playing exactly the same time and they're both sort of finals matches. But everything Sydney.
It's a shame not all Sydney teams can win.
It is.
Also, just very quickly on the AFL, the grand final looks like it's going to be played in Perth, I think.
Headed to Optus Stadium, I believe. Okay.
Is it official now?
Yep. I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Which means, so last year they played at the Gabba in Brisbane. So this is 2 years in a row that'll be away from Melbourne.
It really sets it up for when they come back, doesn't it? Like just how massive it'll be when it's back in Melbourne again. Of course, the NRL Grand Final, where's that going to be? Is that going to be Brisbane?
It hasn't been said, but it'll be Queensland. Could be,
likely Suncorp.
Yeah, not confirmed. Yeah, they won't move out of Queensland. It'll be there. So in the NRL, Melbourne Storm have equaled the longest winning streak in premiership history. They've won 19 in a row, which the Roosters did in 1975. They also equaled the longest streak of scoring 20 or more points in a game, which was 19 games, which Rowan's Doggies did back in 2002. And Jesse Bromwich also became the fastest player to reach 200 wins. Mick? They play the Eels this weekend, going for...
And we're going to ruin their streak because we are the last team that beat them, right? We beat them.
Oh, is that true?
Two. Yep. Parramatta beat them around two. That's the last game they've lost and we're going to beat them again. You wait.
Wow.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
It's an interesting time to play them too because the Storm are they resting some players maybe? Actually, maybe not. They arrested them last week. Maybe they're bringing him back this week.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the team, but...
But unfortunately, the Eels have lost Sivo for the rest of the season. Mike Asiyo injured his knee. Blake Ferguson's back in. It could be good. It could be bad. I don't know. I'm a bit scared on that. And we've got Jake Arthur back in on the bench. But, look, I don't know. I mean, the Eels need a win. We've been playing bad. We won our first game in 5 weeks last week.
Yeah, back in the winner's circle.
Beating the Cowboys, so that was nice. But we're going to be top six. The Eels are top six. They could get top four if you know, some games go the right way.
Who do you have in the last round?
Guess which top two teams you've gone playing the last 2 weeks of the final of the season.
And really? You play Melbourne and Panthers?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Saving the best for last, huh?
But again, the Panthers could be resting players as well. So we could potentially get two teams, you know, who aren't the top form, but yeah.
But they won't rest Nathan Cleary because he's had a bit of time off, so he won't be rested. And they're going to win with Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, and actually, I think I'm looking at the Storm team now, and it looks like it's pretty much a full team. They had Brandon Smith out last week and Ollum out last week and Jeremy Hughes out, and then this week they're all back. So, damn you, Melbourne.
Just quickly in soccer/football, there was an A-League 1 game between Nice and, I'm going to say Marseille, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah, Marseille.
I don't know if you saw this. It was just a normal game. Nice were up 1-0 in the 75th minute, and there was a corner, and someone threw a bottle from the crowd at a player. And the player, I'm not sure if he was hit or not. I don't know. He fell down because it's soccer, and then eventually got back up and threw the bottle back. And the crowd lost their mind and just charged onto the field, a whole heap of them. Running out, shirts off. The Nice players are like trying to get the other players away, and like it was crazy. And then the ref took them off, and that was the end of the game. They had to call it from there.
Yeah, they tried to restart it, I think, but it just didn't happen. Like the crowd was just so messed up. They had to bring in like riot police.
Riot police came. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you think, do we really want fans back?
Yeah.
But having said that, Liverpool played their first game in packed Anfield last week, and man, it was so cool to hear them singing again, and just to see it just makes such a difference to the players as well to have that crowd there.
Pretty sure that was the first time full fans were in Anfield since like you'd won the Premier League. They hadn't actually had a chance to like a full stadium.
Yep. Yeah, so it was massive. Liverpool undefeated, which is nice. Start of the season, they always start well, but they always fall over later. But West Ham on top as well. How about West Ham? Any West Ham fans? I've met some West Ham fans. They're like, they love their team so hard. So good on them.
Yeah. Sitting just above Chelsea, I think, Rowan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just on goal difference. Yeah. But it was funny, as Antonio, the West Ham striker, scored 2 goals, and then someone in the crowd had a cardboard cutout of himself, which they threw to him. So he picked it up and started dancing around with himself to celebrate his wins.
We'll get into a game really quickly because I got a good one. But just before we do, I just wanted to say that in that Nice thing, the game, there was an article and I saw it said, and of course Nice is spelt in English N-I-C-E, which is nice, so it said nice fans storm the ground.
They did that on purpose, didn't they?
All right, here is a quiz. Now this week's quiz was actually sent in by a listener, which is nice.
Our listener actually gave us a quiz. Yeah, wow.
She's also my girlfriend, which is my lovely girlfriend. It doesn't matter. It still got sent in by someone who's not us. Okay. So question one, which of these is not a real sport? Chess boxing, cardboard tube fighting, extreme ironing, or quick packing?
What was that tube one?
Tube fighting. A combat sport where armor and weaponry consist only of cardboard.
Oh, maybe that's real. Oh, I'm going to say that's a fake one.
What was the second one?
That was the cardboard tube fighting.
Oh, that was the cardboard tube fighting.
Chess boxing, extreme ironing, and quick packing. For fans of organization, competitors are given a time limit to pack a room into a set.
Someone wrote descriptions for these fake for these.
Yes.
I'm going to go with ironing.
Oh, really? You're both wrong. It's quick packing. Nah.
I was.
Yeah. Extreme ironing is something we've spoken about before, Mick, on your old Wednesday drive when I used to come on. That's one of my favorite sports ever. Okay.
I'm missing out.
All right. One more because I'm completely out of time. Canon Hoppning is a Swedish sport, also almost identical to show jumping with horses, except the animal is much smaller. Which animal participates?
So you're riding something that's not a horse.
No, see, this is what I thought when I first heard it.
Oh.
So, like, show. Oh, no, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But no, no one's riding the animal. It's way too small.
Okay. But show jumping, like telling something to jump. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
So is that just like a, essentially like a dog show and you're just running along?
Sort of like, but it's not a dog.
No, not a dog.
A mouse.
No. Rowan?
Shetland pony.
Unfortunately, it's a bunny.
Oh!
And they jump pretty good. Ours is a bit too small.
All right. We got to go. That's the end of the show.
All right.
Bye.
Stay safe and sporty.